Mo Ansari returns to the Bay Area on Tuesday, March 8th. Make your appointment now for a free consultation with Mo Ansari and a free portfolio review. Call 800-388-9700. That's Tuesday, March 8th in the Bay Area. Space is limited and times fill up fast, so call now, 800-388-9700.
Welcome back, everyone, to Market Wrap. I'm Mo Ansari, president of Compaq Asset Management, and you're tuned in as you've been doing so for over two decades now. And as always, you can call in, and I will be more than happy to share with you my 34 years of trading experience. But for the next few minutes, hold your calls. We are going to go to our guest line, as we do this time of the day every day. And today, I have a very special guest. We are going to go directly to Washington, D.C., and talk to Congressman Ed Royce. He represents California's 40th Congressional District. Congressman Royce is currently serving his 10th term in Congress as a member of the Financial Services Committee and sits on two of its subcommittees, Capital Markets and Government-Sponsored Enterprise and Financial Institutions and Consumer Credit. Congressman Royce has served on the Conference Committee for some of the most significant legislation in the financial services arena, including the Financial Regulatory Reform Bill, which I want to talk to him about. Congressman, thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule and joining us today on Market Wrap.
Thank you, Mo.
Congressman, let's talk a little bit about Dodd-Frank. It has sort of got pushed in the background. We're not hearing as much about it as we did. Do you think since November, the elections, that it has sort of been, people are saying, let's think about this a little bit more, let's make some changes to it, or is it still going ahead and it is still in the forefront in Congress?
I think that what we have seen is criticism coming from some of the institutions that are involved in setting policy. For example, several of the Federal Reserve presidents recently have criticized the Dodd-Frank Act, and I'll just share with you their concern. They say it failed to address too big to fail, and that in fact it in some ways makes the situation worse, because once you have these firms that are labeled as systemically important, that gives them a 78 basis point advantage in terms of borrowing costs over their smaller competitors. And this is the concern of the Federal Reserve presidents. As a matter of fact, I think that they list two concerns right now for the country. First is the national debt, or the deficits, because there's concern that the deficits are not sustainable,
right,
that they have to be reduced. But their second worry seems to be, at least I'm quoting from the Richmond Fed president, Lacker, and Honig in Kansas City, and the St. Louis Federal Reserve president, Bullard, they all say that we need to take steps to mitigate the systemic risk now posed by these institutions, because there's this implied bailout that's going to come as a result of the way that the law is written.
Right. Congressman, are we not pushing these institutions into the same form, the implied guarantee that we had on Fannie and Freddie? And they were, you know, sort of guaranteed, but now they are. And this is the same thing with we're doing with these institutions, that, you know, they're systemically important, so, you know, the government is going to come bail them out. That's the talk, and that's why they get the advantage where they can borrow at a lower rate by three-quarters of 1%. So
right,
they are basically government-guaranteed institutions, and then we get into the same problem that we are with Fannie and Freddie right now, that they can take as much risk as possible, enjoy the fruits of that risk when it's working, and when it's not working, say, well, you know, let's turn it over to the taxpayers. It's their problem, not ours.
And that's a point that the Fed presidents have made. It has to do with the issue of market discipline, that when you can borrow for less, as you said, three-quarters to 1%, and yes, the FDIC has a new study out, or we're arguing that it is closer to 100 basis points. So one full percent less for borrowing costs for the larger institutions than their too-small-to-save counterparts, you might call them.
Right.
So one of the arguments, of course, that many policymakers have made is that we should look at the fact that bankruptcy courts are where massive institutions from every other sector go to be reorganized or to die. And the rule of law that we find in bankruptcy courts have successfully processed such massive institutions as airlines and railroad companies. So there is a desire to figure out an alternative way, because if it were the same rules of the road, then there wouldn't be this advantage in lower lending to the largest of the institutions, and that wouldn't translate mm-hmm. into the erosion, you know, of a situation where with market
hazard.
Discipline, over-leveraging is harder. But once you erase it,
right.
And once you've got that lower cost of capital, we saw it with Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, there's this tendency to be able to over-leverage in that kind of an environment when you're perceived as a government-sponsored enterprise. So, yes, that's why there is this pressure to revisit Dodd-Frank and try to take care of this problem.
So you're saying, Dodd-Frank, we did not really fix the too-big-to-fail issue.
We institutionalized it.
Right.
Because the bill expands the government-provided safety net under
right.
the financial system to mm-hmm. these institutions. And so that's the problem. We took the wrong course here, and it needs to be addressed.
So you're going to work on that. Congressman, let's talk a little bit more about there's over 200 studies, I believe, that they're supposed to be done. And then the rules are supposed to be written. There's a lot of stuff that is still up in the air. No one knows which way it's going to come down. Have you seen some of the studies? Are we making some progress on that? And how is that going to be resolved? Because they say, well, this is an issue that we're going to study, and we're going to get this study, the SEC or whatever institution is going to do the study. Once we get it, then we'll make the rules, or they will make the rules.
Right, and there was, you know, there was so much changed in the legislation. Everything addressed, everything from interchange fees to derivatives, and all of that is being studied now. The derivatives section of the bill, for example, there's concern now that businesses of all sizes, of course, use derivatives to hedge market risk, but as a result of this legislation, we're affecting everybody from Southwest Airlines to small manufacturers because, you know, basically they use derivatives as insurance products mm-hmm. to allow businesses to plan for the future to offset risk. And under Dodd-Frank, there are these requirements that will make it much more difficult, much more expensive for medium and small business. And as a result, I think the smaller firms, they're going to scale back their usage. But for the larger companies that we're looking at here, I think a lot of the concern is that they're going to shift a lot of that business overseas to Europe. You already see this
right.
happening. You see the focus on how to get under a uniform set of regulations in Europe, because here the situation has become, you know, quite muddied, quite murky, and there's a lot of political pull that has come into play. And so, you know, I think this tendency to shift derivative business to Asia or to Europe is going to create second thoughts in terms of the impact that this is going to have on our competitive position, and might cause this portion of the act to be revisited with an attempt to address the issue in a more uniform way.
Congressman, but those derivatives are some of the, you know, Warren Buffett called them the WMDs of the financial world, and they did become the WMDs of the financial world. So wouldn't it be best that we set up a worldwide regulations now, global regulations, where we bring them out into the open, they're traded on exchanges so everybody knows what the values of these derivatives are on a daily basis and people can value them and trade them?
Right, and our argument isn't going to the issue of whether or not disclosure and transparency mm-hmm. in the market isn't warranted, because that is something that everybody post-collapse of the market was pushing for.
Right.
Everyone wanted to see, you know, the transparency in the derivatives market. But the question, you know, on the failure to create a common sense regulatory structure that recognizes we're no longer the only developed financial system, the worry that is going to create a situation where these growing financial hubs around the world take the business, because the reality is that they will go with transparency, but with not some of the side consequences that make it so much costlier, especially for farms and smaller businesses mm-hmm. to hedge risk using derivatives. And so that is why you're right. If we had a common set of regulations, if we were using, I think, the European model in that regard, we would not be at a competitiveness disadvantage. And I think the recent sale of the New York Stock Exchange to a German firm, Deutsche Börse, is another reminder that we must enact a common-sense regulatory environment. That if I think back, you know, to how recently it was when our capital markets dominated
the world,
the globe,
right.
And then I look at all that we did over the years to put our markets in a less competitive situation. Mm-hmm. We're certainly the most litigious society when we compare Europe to the United States. Our regulatory structure is much more cumbersome, I think. And on top of that, you've got government intervention and political pull in our system, where arguably I think there's more transparency and a more uniform approach in Europe. So I think all of these are coming back to haunt us.
We are talking to Congressman Ed Royce, representing California's 40th Congressional District. Congressman, I have to talk to you about, we are talking about Dodd-Frank, but I have to talk to you about the budget deal.
Yes.
It's something that is on a lot of people's mind right now. We're coming to the deadline. Are we going to get a deal, or are we going to shut down the government?
Well, I think we're going to get a deal, and we've got the first indication on our initial, we call this a continuing resolution, but mm-hmm. up until Friday we have a measure that would keep the government open as
right.
we continue to negotiate, but at mm-hmm. the same time would bring the spending down by about $4 billion for the two-week time frame that we'll be negotiating with the Senate. And, of course, from our standpoint, we would like to see $100 billion cut off of the budget over a 12-month period, so that works out to about $2 billion per week, right?
Right.
So the Senate has now indicated it will find that acceptable, so we will ratchet down spending over the next few weeks and then go forward from there, hopefully with a budget agreement
right.
that will recognize that we can't continue to run $1.5 trillion deficits.
Well, that's when, as you said, that's the number one concern of just about every economist and the Federal Reserve. Most of the governors I've had, the president of the Federal Reserve, Dr. Honig, on the broadcast, we talked about this, and their biggest concern, again, as you mentioned, are the deficits, and we have to get at least show the world that we can't cut $1.4 trillion in 1 year, obviously, but
no.
we have turned the car around, and we are not headed off the cliff, that
yes.
we're starting to head in the right direction, and we can make these cuts and have the resolve to do it. But it's politically very difficult to do because, again, you know, we can cut the stuff that the Democrats don't want, and the Democrats can cut the stuff that the Republicans don't want, cut or whatever. We have to come to some kind of agreement. Do you think we can come to some agreements on Social Security and Medicare and some of the tough things where most of the expenditures are? We only have about 30 seconds left, Congressman.
Well, I shared with the president when I had an opportunity previously, after he addressed our Republican caucus, I personally walked over up and talked with him for a little bit about it and said I was willing to try to, you know, support this effort to get a sustainable situation with entitlements. But my concern is he's already walked away from his deficit commission, and I thought that instead of walking away from it, he should have at least, you know, tried to say, well, this is what has to be done. We're going to move forward and buck them up a little bit. You know, maybe the first draft, not everybody would agree with everything, but it deserved a more serious reception from the White House.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to continue. I voted for every reduction in mm-hmm. these 100 votes that we had approximately on the House floor, these amendments. Anything that could any responsible amendment that would reduce the spending. We have got to do this in order to reassure the markets, the
right.
capital markets, that we're serious, so that the credit rating agencies do not downgrade, you
the
know,
United
our,
States credit.
Our U.S.
Yeah.
Treasuries.
Congressman, thank you so much for being with us today on Market Wrap.
Thank you.
That's Congressman Ed Royce. He is represents California's 40th Congressional District. Stay tuned. I'm going to go to a break, and I will be right back.